Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanell here. Tommy, good to see you, and good to see our third co-host, our friend...
Oh, Adam Knox is my name. God damn it. I thought you were going to say it. And I was like in my head being like, all right, all of us say the next thing immediately so that this is easier to edit afterwards because it'll just all slide right in. And then I'm the one who fucked it.
Yeah. You need to. You can use that silence as a guide then.
No, I can't. It's
impossible. That was very, very stealthy of you. Very stealthy indeed.
You know, I'm not so sure that stealth is very good anymore.
Yeah. I really should have just like attacked that head on and then got sort of like hidden behind a tree or something. That should have been how I approached that intro.
What you should have done with like bringing my name into it is walked up to me expecting to be able to press up on the D-pad to attack everyone. But then the prompt just doesn't show up for no fucking reason. So you can't do it and everyone starts rushing you. That's what you should have done.
Yeah.
It's funny that
we know for next week.
We'll be talking about, obviously, Ghost of Tsushima on this podcast. But a lot of maybe people just heard us doing an ad for it, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So to make it clear.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I guess that is.
They're still running.
Moment, yeah.
To make it clear where the borders between us accepting ad money and our journalistic integrity lies, heaps of this game is not very good at all.
when we got the ad copy, we were explicitly told to not make any reference to ninjas.
Yes.
And then in the first draft of the ad that we sent them, I speculated that perhaps the game would be too scary for me because it focuses on a ghost and that perhaps, there'd be a poltergeist moving books around and shit like that.
Mm.
And they asked us to do it again on the grounds that they were worried that people might be confused and misled into thinking that playing as a ghost was an actual thing that you did in the game. But now that we are outside of the paid advertisement section, once we get into the review of the game, I'm going to be referring to this cunt as a ninja and a ghost to my heart's absolute content, and I cannot wait.
To be fair, when they sent it back as well, they just said, please don't refer to him as a ghost. They didn't specify why it was. And I read the subtext as being that it wasn't funny, the joke you made. I thought that's what they were saying.
Yeah. They actually sent me a separate email saying, look, don't mention this to Tommy until after you've recorded the ad because you don't want to put him offside, but we just had issues with his reading on a quality basis, not on the
that's
ghost I got, technicality.
Before you do it, I got... Because I know that my email came first. I got BCC'd.
Yeah, okay.
I got BCC'd into an email that said, it just said, get a load of this cunt. And it had a picture of you as the body of the email. But the subject line was just get a load of this cunt.
Right. Well, I actually did get an email after that that said that Ben and Adam have the tiniest penises that we here at Sony Australia have ever seen.
I was just going to say, even if you got that email, I got an email after that saying that someone knew a way to fix my small penis and that if I just send them some money, they'd be able to send me some pills that'll deal with it. So it doesn't really matter to me that you got that email.
I'm glad that we've put our integrity on the table. You know, we've been clear with everyone about the fact that we got paid to do an ad, you know, mentioning this game was coming out, not paid to like it. Yeah. And that's all clear. That's all on the table. I should also say at this point that I'm giving this game an 11 out of 10. It's the best game that I've ever played. And I urge everyone to rush out and buy it immediately.
Yep.
Yeah. Weirdly, Neil Druckmann sent me money for this game even.
Yeah.
He's been just paying people to review every game. Also, I'm going to review those dick pills on this one. And even though I got paid to try those dick pills, let me tell you, they do not work.
But yeah, we'll be talking about that a little later in the show. We should also quickly plug, if you're listening to this extremely hot off the presses, we are going to be on Twitch in a few hours doing a live stream of the Xbox Game Showcase. This is very exciting. We're going to hopefully see some cool new shit in that. So yeah, it's 2 a.m. Melbourne time. So yeah, look, if you're somewhere in the world where you can be up to watch us, we'd really appreciate it because it's... It's a pretty late one for us, but yeah, really looking forward to that.
I think it's 2 a.m. here, 9 a.m. Pacific time, and then another time in the UK, which are...
It's about 4 p.m., I think, in
those
the UK,
are the three places most people listen to this podcast. And we'll probably be starting like 15 minutes beforehand or whatever just to chat and get ourselves sorted. And then we'll upload the like archive of that to YouTube anyway, if you can't see it at the time.
Yes. I really...
You can come and...
enjoyed the PS5 one. I think we all did. There's a few sort of minor events in between, but this is the other big one that I think we're all really pumped to watch.
Premiere exclusive world premiere exclusive world.
Because I'm just the excited presentation.
I'm excited to stay up late with my friends. It's going to feel like a little sleepover, won't it, boys?
It is. I'm really afraid that I'm going to fall asleep before it starts and just not be able to be woken. But I'm sure we'll be fine.
I was speculating during the week about what your sleeping pattern would be for this presentation, Adam, because you do have you've got a pretty all over the shop sleeping pattern at the moment. My guess was you go to bed at 11:30 p.m. and set an alarm for about 1:15, meaning that you're even groggier than if you had just stayed up because you've had like a frustratingly small amount of sleep in there.
Do you know what's annoying is when the lockdown came back, like, my sleeping sort of shifted to be like going to bed quite late, getting up quite late. And now I've pretty much got it back in check, but now I have to fuck it again by staying up until, after 3 a.m. But that's the dedication that you and I have to this medium of video game broadcasting. I won't have the dedication to say that sentence quicker, but I will have the dedication to get up at 2 a.m.
So come join us for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Been a bit of news during the week in the world of video games.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Xbox thing, they put out like a little animated cover art thing for the new Halo game, Halo Infinite. And I don't know, there's not much to say about it, but it looks like people are really, really stoked to get a new Halo, which is nice to see.
Yeah. Mm. I think you're the only person like that I know, like personally, Knox, that has been a fan of these games. I know that there's people in our Patreon Facebook group who have mentioned it, and even that was like, oh yeah, that's right. This is one of the biggest franchises in gaming history. But it really doesn't feel that way for some reason. What is that reason? Is it because a few of them were not good?
It's because the last decade of it has been underwhelming, kind of. Halo Reach came out on the 360 in 2010, which was like the one that, you know how sometimes a band will put out an album that's not their best work because they have a certain contract with the record company they want to get away from? Halo Reach was that for Bungie. It was still good, but it was very much like a sort of side thing compared to the first three.
Right.
And then they put out Halo 4, the Master Chief Collection, and Halo 5, all of which had varying problems, but none of which were particularly well received, by me included. Like Halo 5, especially in terms of like, not that the story is like an incredible thing with any of the Halo games, but Halo 5 in particular was fucked in that respect. Halo 4, not much better. And then the Master Chief Collection was broken, technically, when it came out.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
There was heaps of issues with it, yeah.
At the moment, I guess, they've been putting out those Master Chief Collection games on the PC, a lot of them for the first time ever, and those have apparently been pretty good versions of that. So I think people are a little bit more up on Halo now, and they really seem to be sincere with their effort to make this one the best one there's been in a while. But yeah, for the early to mid-2000s, it was the biggest fucking thing in the world. Halo 2 was the first game I remember with all those big stories of like, all the nerds have left their fucking basements to come out and buy this game. All the midnight launches and stuff kind of started with that game from my memory of it.
The kids call him Master Chief.
Yeah.
And he's here. Yeah. There's a lot of those new stories.
This big green robot is fucking excited. Making everyone excited. Me too. Yeah. A new Halo game would be sick. The fact that it's not just on Xbox, that it's on PC too at launch is cool. I really hope they can sort of stick the landing with this one and wrap up this era of Halo, this last decade of it. A little more impressively than it's been going. And I think there's a chance they will.
Xbox also did something else this week. Not just this upcoming presentation, but they did this games demo thing. This big demo fest. I don't know what it's actually called, but they've got 60 to 70 games available to demo free on the Xbox. A lot of them are upcoming. Some of them aren't even out for years. They're really, really early demos. Which is cool. It's a great idea and a great way to get people sort of emotionally invested in Xbox as a platform as they move to the next generation.
Like that Bandcamp we did where we did the film festival with the games. This feels a bit like that where it's early. It's a lot of stuff that you've never heard of. In fact, it's almost entirely stuff I've never heard of. It's all sort of smaller developers and stuff, not to poo-poo that or whatever. Fucking poo-poo. Like a 1950s French man in a film. But it's a cool idea for sure. And I like the idea. I'm not sure if they're tying it into this announcement stream thing that we're going to watch later. But it would be cool if you watch that thing and then they're like, by the way, go play Halo Infinite. There's a demo of it right now.
Yeah. I think it's mostly indie stuff, so I think this upcoming presentation's first party stuff. But yeah, it's a cool idea that I have not engaged with.
No, yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I said this a while ago when we were talking about E3 and people kind of starting to pull out of it, even, before this year and it just not happening. That it as more people move towards doing their presentations online, it would be cool to see this kind of thing be the model where that week that it normally happens, if you have all the companies do their live streams and then a bunch of the demos just go on to the respective eShops for 1 week and everyone at home can be a bit more engaged with it rather than just kind of watching this direct feed footage or stuff filmed off a screen. So, yeah, once again, Xbox kind of being pretty proactive with how they, and I think a lot of people see the industry kind of moving in the future. It's cool to see them sort of take the initiative and go, yeah, we think this is probably how it's going to end up being done, so let's just be the first one in the water with it.
Well, especially with them kind of leading that charge of not streaming games, but subscription service games. It fits into all of that. The effort that goes into putting together a demo of an unreleased game, though, is not small. So whether or not this is actually something that a lot of developers even would want to engage with, I'm not sure of, because again, speaking of Halo, I remember Halo 2 came out with a documentary about the making of it, and a lot of that documentary focused on how fucking hard they found it to put together their E3 demos and how much it hindered the development of the game, because they put all their effort into that stuff and then they were like, well, fuck, none of this actually translates to the proper game, so now we've just got to reboot, kind of. So unless you've already got something very playable of a game, or people are coming to it knowing this is a very early demo, it might be fucked, then maybe it's not worth putting time into for a developer, especially a small one.
I think I get the impression that some of them were okay, here is a 60 minute or less, probably, just loop. This is one section, there's no flashy menus, But you did mention, like, it's not literally streaming games, Tommy, but I guess it is, because this is using, I think, the xCloud stuff, and that xCloud,
right.
Project xCloud or whatever it is, I think is rolling out a little bit more. It's like was free for some maybe Ultimate members or something. Yeah.
I think it was in a closed beta or something, and now it's in an open beta maybe, and it's launching later in the year properly. I forget the actual specifics of it, sorry, but I deeply apologize for forgetting the specifics. But I did see a thing as well that I believe this was just rumored, but some websites took off, and I think Microsoft's website no longer has the option to purchase 12 months of Xbox Live Gold. And
yes, I saw that.
People are inferring from that the whole pricing structure is going to change, probably to shift Ultimate, which is currently the one that gets you Gold and Game Pass, into a thing that gets you the xCloud stuff as well and kind of wraps it all up, and that potentially they could be moving the multiplayer stuff to being either a cheaper or a free system.
Oh, the Xbox Live.
Yes. So that's Xbox Live Gold. And, you know, they're all over the fucking place with that stuff. So it would make sense that they want to consolidate everything into here is the subscription fee that you pay for this. Maybe there's two tiers because you get like the Netflix and the HD version of Netflix. But they want to make sure it's all very clear, because obviously that is their big push. And it seems like it's working for people. I haven't seen people talk about Xbox or be excited about Xbox games this much in 7 years.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned to you guys before the show, I saw a news story saying that Xbox sales were up 64% this quarter, which you mentioned, Nox, is 100% due to the pandemic. People are buying more video game stuff.
They sold 164 Xboxes.
Yes. They're well positioned for that exact moment, for people being at home and needing to play stuff, because the Xbox One S is very cheap. I don't know if it's, you know, still a bunch of sales around, but I got it for like less than $300 Australian, I'm pretty sure. And this was a while ago. They have Game Pass, which is
under $200 now, I believe.
Yeah, wow. But Game Pass is Netflix. Like, it's so easy to communicate to someone who's even brand new to gaming. And if they set it all up like that, subscription services, your Apple TVs, they just need to replicate that as a behavior, and people will be all in. I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah. They stopped production of the Xbox One X as well, it's worth pointing out. So they're just making those One S's for the meantime, and the Series X will obviously be out later in the year, so that's replacing that. So it's all going. It's all happening.
Yeah.
Things are moving.
Whoever's been listening to this show for the almost 4 years it's been going, you've finally got us to talk about Microsoft.
Yeah,
it's finally happened.
Almost five. Yeah. Half a decade where I have owned an Xbox the entire time, but it really has been, in terms of first-party games at least, you know, things that you would need an Xbox for over anything else, just the weakest fucking thing. It's got good... you know, infrastructural things. It's got a good little ecosystem there, especially with Game Pass now. But and the One X was cool to play Red Dead 2 on because it ran really nicely. But it really has been, you know, the distant last place of this generation, unless you count the Wii U. So it's cool to see them really riding the course of that ship.
Yeah, I got mine just on a year ago. It was a year ago last weekend. I worked out.
Happy anniversary.
I got one, I think. Thank you. I got one just because you had gotten one, Ben. And I think you sent me a thing about some deal that you had found. And just kind of like, oh, yeah, there's kind of enough that I'm vaguely interested in. But then, you know, I've got the Game Pass set up on it. I play Forza every now and then. The Ori games are really good, but yeah, I mean, it has been pretty easy to not have one for the show. And, you know, I'm sure there's people listening now who once again are furious that we're shitting on Microsoft. It's nothing to do with it. It's just the fact that they just, there's just not that great first party support that for doing a games review podcast has made it in any way essential to have, because it's like, fuck, this thing's coming out. We've got to talk about it.
And it's specifically the Xbox One. Like, all of those every good game that came out on the Xbox One, you can get on the PC pretty much. Like everything that you couldn't get on like a PS4 or whatever is on the PC. So many more people have moved over to that. I think I'm probably wrong about this, but the only game I can think of off the top of my head that was like significant that didn't was Halo 5, which kind of goes to show how poorly received that was, that they haven't put the effort into doing that yet when they're putting seven other or whatever Halo games on it. So you don't need an Xbox One for really any reason. And I think they recognize that and are trying to write that again, correct the course there. And the Master Chief is back and the nerds are leaving their basements once again. Out of the way, Mum. I've got to leave the basement. No dinner for me tonight. I'm having dinner with Master Chief. Fucking newsreaders calling people nerds. How dare they?
Well, speaking of streaming presentations and things that are barely worth the effort and franchises that mean a lot to some people out there. There was a Nintendo Direct Mini at the start of the week, which was branded as a partner showcase, which I think they kind of, it was a 10-minute thing that they just put up on YouTube and they said, focusing on already announced stuff from some of our development and publishing partners. So expectations were pretty low. And even in spite of that, managed to find myself completely underwhelmed by it. Good Lord Almighty. This was bizarre.
Yeah.
Just very weird stuff.
I'm glad to see some of that stuff of Shin Megami Tensei 5 getting like, hey, it's coming out still. It's not dead, because I like the Persona games so much. Not sure I care about that remastered one as much. And then I don't even remember what the other two games in there were. So yeah, as a presentation.
I'll tell you what it was. It opened with DLC for Cadence of Hyrule. Okay.
Sure.
People like that game. That was cool. Mm-hmm. That's a good opener.
Sure.
Then some whack-looking online shooter that just looks so generic and dull, that's like a third-party thing. Mm. Then a new WWE wrestling game.
That's right. Oh, with like cartoon John Cena. Hey, it looked all like
okay.
Yeah. And then the Shin Megami Tensei. I don't know why they did this as a presentation. It didn't just kind of like roll those trailers out.
Yeah, especially when they've been
so weird.
They've been putting up the separate trailers for the last little bit anyway. So yeah.
And they put up like a 10-minute long trailer for a different game like the day after. There's that I think Luke posted it in the group. Tommy, did you notice that one? It's a Japanese game. I think it maybe
is Sukuna?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I think that looks cool. I don't know why it was in the Japanese version of the presentation but not the English one. I don't know why that is, because that game looks cool.
It's probably not coming out in the West, right? Would that be the reason?
Oh.
Well, that's fuck weird. Me then, I guess.
And it looked good
I
as well.
I thought that too, but it is. It's got a date here. I think it's out in November. It's got like a... Yeah,
sorry,
I don't know.
We just don't have room to fit you in here. We've got five games already, so...
Not really. You'll make those other games look too bad in comparison. We'll release you in the Japanese one only.
Sick.
Yeah.
We're talking real positively about Xbox and real negatively about Nintendo. This is exactly what I've wanted from this for 5 years.
Have you played any of the Shin Megami games, Adam? Because I know this news is this like reveal of it and everything is like massive to some people. That game does have like a pretty big fan base, and so as dull of a presentation as it is, I think that being at the end was like such a huge deal to a lot of people out there, but it's one that's completely passed me by. And I don't even think that it just from what kind of was shown of the game, it didn't really grab me or look that appealing.
Sure.
But so you've never played any of them?
No, just Persona, which is a spin-off from that series.
It's a spin-off, right? Yeah.
It looks like it is a little more serious in tone, possibly, which is one of the more appealing things about Persona, that it has the sort of lighthearted tone about it. So maybe it won't be appealing, but I am interested in it because I liked Persona 5, basically.
Mm. Yeah, I like Atlas a lot. I like Persona. I haven't talked about it yet on the pod. I'll save it until I've played a bit more of it. But I played a bit of Catherine Full Body, which is the sort of, I think it's like got a lot of the similar creative team from Persona.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of the way that they do things.
Yeah, I've only played those two franchises as well, but the aesthetic similarities between Persona and Catherine are super strong. Like the music and the visuals and even the humor, the stuff that we did all really like about Persona is also in Catherine. So, I mean, I got to check out Shin Megami Tensei. I think it was, as much as that presentation was not of interest at all, I'm going to play that game when I can, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's I might be wrong about this, but I think they're a little Final Fantasy-ish as well, where you can kind of play them independently, which is why they're putting out like the remaster of 3 and the new one is 5, but that's sort of fine, I believe.
Right.
Big diss to 4.
Also, the 7th Yakuza game got a release date, or they said November, and it's going to come out, yeah, here in November. And George is going to be a voice for the English dub.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that's I could not care any less about. If you forced me at gunpoint and you said, listen, if you don't care less about this, I'm going to shoot you in the head. If anything, that would make me care way more about it, ironically.
Yeah, yeah.
Been put in that situation. So I'm definitely dying, but either way, yeah.
You don't care about George Takei being a voice.
Nah, who gives
I'm interested in the game. I love the series of what I've played of them. I've played, I think, 0, 6 and the Judgment game, and they're great. And the fact that this is a sort of, they've changed it. It's turn based. It's more of a traditional JRPG.
I don't know.
I guess there's, you know, 6 other, 7 other games with the beat 'em up style. So why not? But yeah, I'm pumped for that.
Mix it up. I'm looking forward to November, baby. Cyberpunk as well. That game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of it for news, hey? There was one more thing of Ubisoft and Take-Two both did like sort of, I think, investor conferences or board, whatever, that sort of, hey, everybody who's got a business stake, this is our plan. And
board is right. Oh, it's a real snooze fest.
Hey, listen here. strike that from the minutes, please.
Wow.
We've got a bloody office clown over here honking his horn. Nice to see someone honking a nose rather than anything else at Ubisoft at the moment. Anyway, Take-Two said that NBA 2K won, and that was the only game they mentioned, but they said that'll be $70 US on the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. And then Ubisoft said that their games, for the moment, they said like this fall will be $60. So they didn't say definitively going forward everything will remain the same price. And Take-Two specifically said it will go up.
Next gen games in that period. Not just current gen games. For Ubisoft, next gen games for that period of time will remain the same recommended retail price.
I want, because I don't know if it happened in the US, but I remember when the 360 was coming out, there was a period of time there when new games, they're $100 here normally, and they went up to being $120 new. They were $119.95 for like Project Gotham 3 and started like the launch games of the 360 were that for like a brief period, and then everything sort of went back down again later on. So I don't think it would be that weird to put stuff up. I think everyone kind of understands that time has progressed and inflation happens and, you know, it's just going to be the way it is.
The discussions that I've seen from people who work in the industry are always of the tenor of like, why have they not gone up at all for so long? It's crazy that they're still the same cost for consumers, because the cost for development has only gone up. Like, budgets for games are astronomical now, and they take fucking ages to work on, which is why people get pressured and have crunch situations, because the money and the time thing just doesn't seem to line up. I mean, it's a luxury for me to be able to be like, yeah, I can pay an extra $10 for a game, and I know that it's not the case for everyone, but it seems to make sense.
Right, and if you hate microtransactions and stuff, this is the alternate answer for that. And also $60 in 2005, for example, they were $60 then, that's $80 now, just about.
Right.
With inflation. Right. So yeah, it's probably, it makes sense for them to go up to me. Or did they get even more subsidized by season passes and whatever, which wouldn't be my choice necessarily.
Yes.
No, neither.
Tell you what would be my choice though, or has been my choice to do to myself for a week. here.
Okay. Do we want to... It depends what this is.
You may have noticed on this Zoom call that my hands have not been above the table this entire time.
Yeah, I did notice that, actually.
Let me reveal.
He's holding a copy of Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, we've all been playing Ghost of Tsushima, hey.
Yes, we have. Mm.
Yep.
I went in from 12:01, the day that it was unlocked and released. I'd preloaded it on the PlayStation 4.
Not a real
fan.
I was
super
real
excited.
Fans went in at midnight on the dot.
I had to get a glass of water, I guess.
fucking big glass of water if you're pouring it for 60 seconds.
I was pouring it and then
I was
drinking
and Ben
it.
Famously... And famously, all the clocks in Ben's house are off by 1 minute, so he actually got confused by that and was like, oh, fuck, it's actually now.
Yeah, that is famous.
But, yeah, I played the prologue, I guess, that night. I played it for a couple of hours. And, yeah, I've sunk a bunch of time in. I know I'm not as far in the story as you guys, but I think I've probably played about as much time because I've done a bunch of side shit. But why don't we go around the horn with our opinions. Tommy, what do you think of this game?
You have the conch, Tommy. You have the horn.
You have the talking stick.
I've got the horn for listening to you talk.
I think I'm probably... It's annoying. As far as I can tell, it doesn't have any kind of way of tracking how long you've been playing for, which I was trying to find before we did this. I think I'm probably 6 or 7 hours in.
Oh.
So, yeah, I've done the first act of the story.
Right.
With a little bit of fucking around on the side.
That I reckon I would have done about 20 and have just gotten to the point you are too because I'm doing all the side shit as well. So it's interesting how much of a difference that can make.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe I've played longer. I don't know.
I reckon you might. Anyway.
Keeping a little bit. But I'm really loving it, even though I think it has some pretty massive flaws.
Yeah.
That's my broad
take. What is this game? A Bunnings Warehouse? Because it has some pretty massive...
sales?
I think... that's what I'm talking about. If you can find a better game than this, this game will get 10% less of a Metacritic score than that. I'm engaged by it. I think that's the thing that I'll say first is that I am like I keep coming back to it and I keep wanting to play more of it and go and do all of the little side bits and everything. But I can't tell if that's more to do with enjoyment or compulsion because I agree that a lot of this game is It more than anything, this game is not in any way special or unique or even other than visually kind of creative in an interesting way. I think it's such an amalgamation of all the like generic open world games that have come out during this generation. And then on top of that, it's got some really fundamental issues with the way that it controls and some of the like technical kind of buggy aspects of it that I've seen and just like the structure of the story and all that stuff. It's really mediocre with a lot of that stuff, but I am very engaged by it and it looks beautiful for the most part,
other than
the bits that really don't.
I thought we were going to have very different opinions on this game, but I think that we're actually all pretty much in the same boat because I think that this game is like you, Nox, very, Moorish, very compulsively, you know, very addictive in certain ways that are probably just basic underlying manipulative, like here's a list, you know, check things off from it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that I haven't been able to stop playing it. Like it's very, very Moorish, but almost every aspect of it is frustrating to me and on varying levels of frustration. Some of them are very minor that I can easily overlook, but a lot of aspects of this game really frustrate me. Like I really like fucking come on, put like the controller down and walk away for a bit because it shouldn't be happening. This is not me being bad at this. This is the game having poor design.
Right.
What's your biggest frustration with it?
It's the camera. A lot of people have said this. It is the camera. The controls I thought were initially my problem, but it is the fact that you can control yourself off screen. You can be in the middle of a heated fight with, you know, 10 enemies, and all of a sudden a tree is in the center of the screen and you cannot see yourself. That happens to me so often, and it really discourages me from playing the game in a certain way. It only funnels me towards playing this game in a stealth mode, because that is the only way I can be guaranteed that seven guys aren't going to be standing in front of the character that I'm playing as and immediately kill me because I can't see myself. It's so annoying.
You know what? I was playing it this afternoon, and it made me think that this was almost as if it was designed for all of the combat to be happening in a completely open field.
Yes.
Because as soon as you get into a relatively narrow space, like if you're in a village or a town or whatever, and then the fight happens to move into like a, you know, a corridor into like one of the buildings, you just immediately get completely fucked. It's like they just never worked out how to get the camera to sit in a more enclosed space.
The thing that it's driven me towards doing, though, that has mitigated that is a lot of the combat for me has been about controlling positioning and making sure you roll away to a good area and that you move them to where you want them to be. So I think some of that is built into, like, if you get backed into a corner, then you're going to get attacked by people and die. But it's about making sure that you are where you want everyone to be. You know what I mean? And more than that,
yeah, sure,
I agree that the
camera is
bad.
It's not about being overpowered. It's like you just can't see. Like you just all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at the fucking ground.
Well,
like,
and
it kind of shifts in a way where...
Even in an ideal situation where you are in the middle of a field, there can be three fucking enemies standing just underneath the camera, you know? And all of a sudden one of them will barrel in with an attack. And you're like, well, motherfucker, I had no idea you were there.
It's also the fact that you can be standing in a field with three enemies and you'll attack one, and because you've, I guess, started this, you know, animation that's built in, you'll attack off screen. There's something about the camera that starts to stay static when you're in combat. I think it's to emulate sort of a cinematic quality. This is what I've seen in some of the interviews and stuff I've read, is like, we want it to feel like you are, you know, a samurai in a movie, and you can see this static shot. You can almost visualize it, of like silhouetted, you know, a samurai fighting across, you know, a sunlit horizon, and it's this static shot. You almost, but it doesn't really work. I feel that's the sensation, is almost like this camera sits still as if they've put a tripod down. And you fight out of screen.
It also, it doesn't feel cinematic at all. Like, they don't pull off that aspect of it either, because it...
Yeah.
You're in complete control of the camera and tasked with making sure you're looking around, you know. But the fucking attack buttons are on, like, square and triangle, so you can't do both at once. Unless you do that, like, dumbass claw pose that some people think is okay to do. But I don't, because...
Yeah, it doesn't feel cinematic. It feels like a bug. Like, it just feels like it's not behaving how it's meant to. You don't go, oh, yeah, look, this is the trade-off, is that this is, like, set deliberately this way to look this way. Mm. It's just like, why is this fucking up? Why is this not doing what I need it to do?
There's a lot of stuff about the game that is unpolished in that same way.
I also think, Nox, were you implying that the game doesn't feel cinematic in general as well? Because
no, not at all.
I think that is true. I don't think it's cinematic. I think it's pretty laughable that they compare this to Kurosawa. Like, and they do directly. There's a mode that is entitled Kurosawa mode.
It's called Kurosawa mode. It's crazy.
Yeah. And in the interviews I've seen with the game's sort of lead creative, whose name I forget, they talk a lot about it, trying to evoke the feelings of those films.
Yeah.
And it doesn't at all. The cutscenes are done in engine, which is fine, because a lot of games have in-engine cutscenes. I think The Last of Us 2 is a great recent example. But the cutscenes are just like these medium or wide shots of like three people standing slightly off-center. Like, there's no cinematic feel to how it is portrayed in cutscenes. And occasionally you get a nice landscape shot as you transition from a mission back into the roaming open world thing. But those sort of like shots with like the samurai on the cliff and the sword silhouetted stabbed into the ground are not really that common in the movies they're referencing. The movies are much more focused on like character and action and close-ups and stuff. So I think it also fails on that level.
Definitely from the point of view of, those cutscenes, like you say. Like, the whole thing looks more like Shadow of Mordor than a fucking Kurosawa movie, but like the environments themselves and a lot of the places you go and the vistas and stuff you can see. And like, I don't know, for example, there's like a mission where you're going to get, I think, a cool sword, and there's like a bunch of old samurai swords stabbed into the ground in a circle around you, and then you have a fight in the middle. They look good in terms of like just the environmental design, but no, yes, you're right. It never capitalizes on it in a way where you're ever like, wow, look at what they've set up there and shown me in this cutscene. It's like they are always very just plonk the camera somewhere utilitarian and show these two people from the waist up having a chat.
And their faces
don't fucking move. It's
the facial animations are
really dodgy.
It's nuts. Yeah. All of the animation I've thought so far looks really dated.
Pretty rigid, yeah. It's weird because, this is probably unfair to say, but I think it kind of suffers a bit for how close it's come out to Last of Us 2. And I know it's probably unfair to say, given that you're talking about a game that a lot of people would say is now in the conversation of, you know, one of the best games of all time. But, like, facial animations really stick out, you know, really suffer from how recently I've played Last of Us 2. And the same with the stealth and the AI of the enemies is just insane. There's just a lot of, like, people just kind of, like, doing laps in circles. Like, it feels so last gen.
I think Red Dead 2 is maybe a nearer comparison to what this isn't quite living up to for me. And, like, that game is made by one of the wealthiest companies in the world and took them 6 years. You know, like, it isn't necessarily fair to directly compare one thing to another thing. However, it is an existing benchmark that this doesn't even fall short of. It falls wildly short of in almost every aspect of it.
What it falls right directly next to is the Assassin's Creed franchise, specifically the two recent examples. That is what this game is. A few people mentioned it when you put the call out for some opinions in the group, Nox. A lot of people said this is Assassin's Creed Japan, and that is exactly how it feels. And I didn't mind those recent games, and I don't mind this game, but I think because of the setting and the goals that this team appears to have set itself, I expect a little bit more from it. Because I think Red Dead is a great example of a game that I think nailed it, and I think a lot of people agree did. Some people had issues with certain aspects. But one thing I loved about Red Dead from the start that I know you guys did not was the controls. And I think, weirdly, I would have liked something closer to those controls in this game, because there is this sense that they have gone for this aesthetic and this style and this era, which is a very weighty and very respected and a very serious and rich, you know, artful era of history. And it feels like you are controlling Pac-Man. Like, it feels like you are this non-existent entity that is floating around the screen. Your horse can do a 1080 on the spot. And I feel like if you had some more weight to what was actually going on, it might help.
Maybe. I don't know if I agree so much with that. I don't like the controls heaps also, but more in the way that they feel a little... It feels silly to compare this just to a million other open world games, but it really is just so in the vein of every other one that it's hard not to. It feels like Horizon Zero Dawn in the same way that I had. I found it frustrating to not be able to move around the environment fluidly in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling the same thing with this, where like some rocks are just too high to jump off of, but some are fine. And some places you can climb if they've got the white fucking dumbass scuff mark along them.
Yes.
You know, or that stupid red bit of rope where you're like, oh, okay, I got to climb up that bit. I'm so sick of that in games for some reason. The ladder built into the environment, but like, and just holding up, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something, when in the combat, which I actually kind of like, it's not quite that like sort of Batman snap to enemies and just sort of hit your combos in the right timing and you'll do it. You've got to think about it a bit and you've got to be ready to block and roll and dodge and all of that. Like, it's not, it is a middle ground between a Batman and a more complicated combat focus game. But the issue with the combat that I have is that those sort of four stances that you get to deal with different types of enemies end up being a lot more annoying than I feel like they were meant to be. Like, you know exactly which enemy to use which stance for. You know exactly when you need to switch to them. There's no like, oh, I wonder what would be best to use in this situation, because they each correspond to one of the four types of enemies, you know?
Right.
So it just is more of a hassle than an enjoyable part of the combat. And then when you switch to it, you do the same thing where it's like a combo where you hold triangle and then press it a few times, or you press triangle a few times, or, you know, it doesn't actually create a difference in how you're fighting these different enemies. You just have to be in the right mode, like rock,
you
paper,
just have
scissors.
To have switched over, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And then the controls for doing that shit with the shoulders and switching all your the like little darts and whatever that you can, your bows and everything, holding one of the triggers and then remembering which fucking, whether it's left on the D-pad or triangle for this one or whatever, is not very intuitive at all. However, having said that, and I know we're focusing on the negatives here, the combat is still enjoyable, and I am
having
a good time.
I really like it. Yeah. I really, that's one of my favorite things about it. Yeah, I'm finding that really satisfying, and getting all the different, and like being able to like upgrade the different parts of the skill tree and like focus on the sorts of things that you want to focus on, and unlocking the new things all feels very satisfying. I like the little kind of justifications in the world for like getting the new stances, like having to take out the leaders of like the camps and stuff. I think that's kind of a cool way of unlocking that. I do think it does have like a few nice little things where it's kind of using enough things about the world that it's in to sort of justify these mechanics and these systems that you're doing, that for me make it feel a little bit more like just a straight up, you know, open world template with just this specific coat of paint on it.
Right. It is. It definitely is a little bit better than the track an icon and walk there Assassin's Creed style thing. It's halfway towards the Breath of the Wild, where you're getting environmental clues, and the wind thing as a replacement for the mini map is nice, because you do kind of turn it on and forget about it and just get driven by it.
It does
work really
well. I immediately switched to like the expert HUD or whatever that is, which means I think basically nothing on screen unless it's like contextually relevant. And it is beautiful. Like, for as much as I talked it down at, you know, not being a cinematic game, it is a beautiful game. And it is a game comparable to a Witcher 3 or a Red Dead 2, where it's fun to just be in the world, and it's fun to ride around and crest a cliff and see a bay and see, you know, the enemy ships there. It does look good. And as much as I am hating sort of the mass combat situations, like you said, Tommy, there is a pretty malleable skill tree where I am just upgrading some stealth stuff and upgrading the wind chimes to distract people, and getting the gear that allows me to function more effectively in stealth. So the fact that it has that, it has that flexibility is very cool. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
I've found the stealth really, really poor and haven't wanted to engage with that at all, because like you said before, I think, Tommy, the enemy AI is really dull in the stealth sections. Mm. It'll just sort of walk and then stand and turn around and walk back the other way and just kind of repeat for a while. And then I don't find that the environments where you're being asked to be stealthy are very well set up to make that, to make you feel like you have any creativity within that. There's this one patch of tall grass that you can hide in, or there's this one building you can go under, but it's just sort of like either follow the stealth path or you stand up and fight everyone. And then the combat is a little bit more fluid, which I'm enjoying more than the pretty strict feeling to me stealth. And and it also doesn't, once you, even though it's strict, it doesn't feel good. It feels like janky in a weird way, where like the assassinations that you do, if you sneak up on someone, you'll like fly across the map and get them. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then once you're on the roofs, you are completely invisible.
Man.
It doesn't matter how much you're fucking around up there. You are 100% undetectable.
And they're not high roofs. They are relatively low Japanese roofs. And you'd think if you were a Mongolian army, you'd come over to this new country, you'd be like, fucking get a load of this place. You'd be looking around all the time.
But
these guys don't give a fuck. They're looking at the fire or at one prisoner or out of one window for 6 seconds and then turning around and walking and looking in the corner for 6 seconds and then turning around and walking back to the window.
You know what I think the biggest problem with the stealth is? Can't go prone.
That's true.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
No prone.
Yeah.
Hate to compare it to The Last of Us again, but...
Yeah.
But damn. That game did do stealth so well. You know, it's the same when Horizon and Breath of the Wild came out at a similar time frame. You do directly compare it to the thing you've got the most recent experience with.
If it's the very last thing you've played, and also if it's not just going like, oh, it doesn't look as good, it's trying to do a lot of the same things. And, you know, Last of Us 2, it's an option, but it's not... I mean, you're a samurai, you know, you can dress as a Ronin, you can do all these things. Like, contextually, the idea of being able to do stealth well kind of matters so much more in this game, given the theme of it and the character that you're playing. And I know it also matters contextually in Last of Us 2, but like, a big part of the selling point of this game has been like, this is how you can do the game if you want. You can 100% stealth your way through it. Right. And I've found it way too hard to do that. It's rarely been an option to be able to sneak my entire way through a camp.
Stuff that's been a pretty staple element of stealth games for a long time now as well is missing. Like, if you kill someone, if you, like, assassinate them quietly, you can't move their body and then hide them. So someone else is just going to fucking find it later and you have no control over that. Just that sort of shit where, I don't know. But definitely... The thing that, to say some more positive stuff about the game, I am enjoying the combat, even though I think it's got some irritating elements. When there's a big group and I'm fucking strolling in and I'm the samurai bastard and I'm like, come and fight me. I love it how, so you can do like a standoff in this game where, and it doesn't always trigger, but you're meant to be able to walk up to a group of enemies and press up on the D-pad and he'll be like, hey, motherfuckers. I'm here.
Yeah,
come and get me.
Come out and play. Like, before you go on, Nox, I think I've had issues with the button, like trigger recognition with everything. Like, you'll walk up to someone who you're supposed to get a quest from, and unless you approach them from like the 47th degree angle and you're coming in this direction with the sun and you press R2, there's no button prompt. It happens with a bunch of shit. It's really, really annoying.
Picking up all the little bits of linen and bamboo and whatever that are around, you've got to be in a certain... position and it can be annoying, but the standoffs in particular, I'll find that I'm walking up to a group, I'm miles away from them, so I should be able to yell at them, but then it just doesn't happen, and then they turn around and look at me and they're like, hey, all right. But it's very funny he'll yell like, send your best warrior out and come and face me, or like you know, some samurai shit that sounds good, like fight me with honor or die or whatever. And then sometimes he's just like, hey! There's one where he just yells hey at him. Fuck, I love that. But the combat is like pretty intense and you got to be on your guard and ready to block and ready to deflect and parry and all that shit. So I have been enjoying it, even though the stances thing is maybe not that interesting to me.
Yeah, I think I'm getting better at the combat as well. And I agree with all those criticisms of the stealth. I wanted to say quickly before we got off the stealth too far, it reminds me of an old Assassin's Creed game because they were all about assassination. That was the entire focus of them. But the stealth was pretty bad. There wasn't in some of them the option to move bodies, although there was in a lot of them. But just like that sort of weightless feeling of like, oh, the assassin blade, in it goes and the guy's done, and... there wasn't really good stealth in terms of moving from cover to cover. It feels very Assassin's Creed-y, which I know is like a hack thing to say about this game, but it's really reminiscent of some of the bad ones for me, which I did play all of. But I do love the combat. I think there's an option. You do a mission in like a burnt out town and then you get the option to go back and sort of take the town back properly. And it's big. It's like a few different sections. There's a lot of guys there. I don't know if you played it, both of you, but it's like three cages of people to unlock, three leaders to take out, you know. And
the one down on the bottom coast?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I guess southern would be
the word that people would use instead.
Yeah,
of
the bottom. The bottom down. Yeah. I'm more of
Great
a top
bottom
fan.
Land.
I did do a lot of it in stealth, but there were moments where you have to take on a group of guys because they're out in the open and there's a prisoner there. And the satisfaction of beating them and taking them out really cleanly and quickly is, I think, justified. It is there because the game is made well enough for it to feel like you did it properly. You didn't just fluke it. And yeah. So I'm enjoying that. And maybe I'm just getting better at the combat as I go.
I think that is definitely part of it, that it starts off a little more tricky than obviously when you get used to it. Because it is different feeling to the sort of Batman-y or Assassin's Creed-y combat where one character will lock onto you and the rest will kind of stand there and wait their turn and be like, yeah, get him!
Yes.
Until he dies. Yep. And then they're like, oh, who's next? But everyone's kind of at you in this one. And I'm finding that fun. And just to reiterate again, the environments themselves look fucking beautiful, but everything else around them, like the animation and the way, especially with the characters' faces, and but like the general animation of the guards and the Mongol soldiers and you and all of that stuff, a lot of this feels like weirdly like it's a remake of a PS3 game. You know what I mean?
That's, yes. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's exactly the same way I feel about it, because I think the presentation in terms of, the environments and how it looks, the music and sound design is incredible.
The music's great.
I love the little like title cards at the start of each mission.
Some of them
really
are
well
fucking
done.
Annoying though, just to jump in, because everything that you get after a mission, it will let you press start and go and have a look at it, except for a fucking ability point where if you press start then or options then, it'll just say, all right, paused. Wait, motherfucker. For some reason, I'm not going to let you look at that. Just a small thing, but it's emblematic of the weird sort of just missing or dodgy elements of this game
out. But like that coming up is such a cool effect, like at the start of the thing, like the Japanese text, like the like we mentioned before, the guiding wind is such a nice touch, and like one of the very small areas where it does kind of innovate within that open world, very played out genre. I love the little effect when you do go and grab the supplies or the linen or whatever, the like pushing the button and the thing kind of just like disintegrating.
Yeah,
I think that looks really cool.
Yeah.
So like all of that kind of overall feel is so good and looks so amazing and polished, which then it just looks like this skin that's been slapped on like a PS2 or PS3 game. Like it's got all these weird animations and dodgy camera and dodgy AI. Like it's bizarre that these big chunks of it are like so far behind.
There's really inelegant sort of fading between what kind of almost like everything. Like there's always these dips to black, these 100%. Yeah, like you go through a doorway to start.
That's cinema,
to
baby.
Go, during a mission, and it's like it fades to black, it fades back up again. And I know like games like God of War and The Last of Us 2 and stuff are the benchmark, like they're the A-plus games of this generation, but I don't remember this stuff happening for like a good 5 or 6 years. Like they're really, really dated game design things of clunky loading screens and clunky fades and the fact that it all happens in engine, I just don't understand why it had to be so clunky.
Even your Shadows of Mordor, even your Spider's Men, even your those sort of Grand's Theft Auto, I don't remember that happening either, that fade to black. And it does add, because if you're standing in a field with all these hundreds of flowers that are swaying in the breeze and these bright orange trees in the distance that look beautiful and this washed sun, that all the colors in the game look so great, it makes those cutscenes where some fucking scarecrow looking motherfucker walks up to you with a straight face and it's like, I'm so sad. It doesn't, and the story as well just is so plain and uninterestingly written. Every bit of dialogue in this game is just so mechanical and just getting across this information without any feeling at all.
A lot of the writing, I wrote down a lot of the examples of it. It feels, so there's a huge issue with this game, I feel like, where it is co-opting this aesthetic, which is very like beautiful and fascinating and deep and rich and historic, but it's doing it in a shitty game way. Like there's a lot of writing where, and I've got Japanese language but English subtitles. I assume you guys probably do as well. I don't know.
No, I'm doing English. The English dub.
I did English just because
Fuck reading.
I kind of find I'm just looking at the part of the screen. I don't take the whole thing in.
Same. I really don't like
subtitles.
I've
got text on the screen,
games.
I had it on to very begin with for the very, very first bit. Because the other thing is, this is another huge glaring thing that I've seen a few reviews point out, when you switch to Japanese language, then in the cutscenes, you're probably about to say this, Ben.
Yeah.
It's not lip synced properly. So you're just watching this even more fucked and robotic looking thing. Like,
it's English first. It's English mouth lip syncing, which is bizarre for a Japanese samurai game. But then the stuff that they're saying, maybe you guys have actually noticed this more because you have the English language voiceover on. But the writing is really bad. It's really gamey. It's a lot of like, wow, I guess it must be hard to be a samurai. Well, it ain't meant to be easy. And a lot of like, all right, guys, we got this. And like a lot of real shitty American style game dialogue in the mouths of these ancient samurai characters. It seems so strange.
I wouldn't even say it's American style or anything like that. I'd just say it's devoid of much character to it.
Yes,
it's so,
yes, true.
It's so plot driving rather than and like there's been one scene that I've seen so far where one of the characters has done a very good line reading of an emotional thing out of I would guess about 20 hours, but I have no way of truly knowing. But like all of the side missions especially are fucking bland as hell. You'll show up and some guy will be like, hey, my family's dead too, and you'll be like, oh yeah, you and every fucking everyone else.
Oh, everyone's, I guess the Mongols did it. Better go fight some Mongols.
Yeah, where's the 7 Mongols I need to kill for this one? How far do I need to walk away? There's a couple that are trying to do something a little more interesting, but even the ones that are like, there's a haunted forest out there, they still end up not having much character to that or much personality in them. It's all just very sort of passable but forgettable. Like, yeah, a lot of the game other than specifically the environmental visuals is very, very medium.
Yeah, I think someone mentioned in the group they wanted to know how this treats sort of the fact that it is a Japanese setting and an ancient traditional Japanese setting and how it deals with sort of Japanese philosophical concepts and stuff that, you know, is a little high-minded and a little highfalutin for a video game, but they seem to be leaning into it with these Kurosawa comparisons. It doesn't deal with any of that well at all. It barely deals with it. Like, the haiku stuff is laughable. I read this great article on Kotaku.
They're very bad haikus.
I think we can all tell just from playing it ourselves they're bad, but they got a haiku academic to analyze some of them, and they were like, this is laughably bad. This is not haiku. Like, this is just 3 sentences put together. It's like some of the imagery, the fox stuff, and, you know, obviously all of it, all of the imagery has a lot of meaning for a lot of people and is very culturally significant. And it's just used in the way that an Assassin's Creed game might use, you know, the Notre Dame Cathedral. It's like, oh, this is a cool thing to climb on. Like, that's kind of the extent of how it's treated in this game.
Right. And I think more than not dealing with anything well, it, like you said, it just doesn't really utilize the setting too much. Mm. Like, you could pretty easily sort of palette swap this out for medieval knights being invaded by the Normans or whichever one fucking went in there. And
sure,
you'd get pretty much the same effect out of this. Other than visually, of course, which is where a lot of the work for that seems to have gone. Like, it's not bad, and I'm enjoying the setting, but it does seem like a missed opportunity because it does it feels pretty unexplored in a lot of kind of disappointing ways.
I think that's the best way to describe it. It's superficially beautiful, but it is a shallow game.
At the same time, like I said, I am enamored by it in a way. Like, I keep playing it and I'm very stuck in the loop that it does. It really presents you with all of that open world stuff, repetitive as it may be, in a good way where you pick a direction and you walk and then a little bird shows up. It's like, hey, fucking come this way. And then the bird like flies into a cliff and glitches out, and but you eventually follow it to some shrine and then you get a new hat. Yep. You're like, dope, I've got a new hat. What can I see from here?
Totally.
I think that loop is very effectively done in this game.
And that's what I've been doing. Like, I'm way behind you guys, it feels like, in the story, but I've done a bunch of that shit because it looks beautiful and I want to ride my horse around, seeing the beaches and the trees and the sunsets, and I want to get new sword kits and new outfits and shit. Like, all of that is done technically quite well. Anything visual in this game, basically, apart from the camera, looks
and
amazing.
The characters, the faces, and even just the way the characters look.
Yeah.
If you've removed every animated character from this and we're just flying around the environment, you got a really good looking game.
Well, if you removed every human apart from your own character, it's cool. It's cool. You get to ride around. You see some houses on fire and shit. You see some ships and some trees. Like the autumn leaves, you know, the golden forest and it's beautiful. Like it's
all
incredible.
The
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice photo mode that you can use if you want.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, all those negatives that we've talked about, none of them, even though I'm very aware of all of them as I'm playing it, none of them are really detracting too much from my enjoyment of it on a moment-to-moment level. Mm. I did last night, I cranked the difficulty down because I just kind of wanted to get it. I kind of wanted to push through as much as I could before we did this review. Mm. And I kept finding myself just getting owned by being backed into a corner with the camera. Mm. And, you know, this isn't the most ringing endorsement of a game, but it is. It's a lot more enjoyable now cruising through it and not having to worry about dying at the hands of just like not being able to see where I am in the space. And I guess at the end of the day, like, you know, there's probably plenty of people listening who want to know if it's worth their time. And yeah, it looks great. It's fun to ride around in. It's a beautiful world. I still think it probably is worth your time when it's on sale. Like if those issues that we've bought up seem like enough of a sticking point to you, then definitely like wait until it's reduced a bit. But I still think the combat is interesting enough and that the setting is beautiful enough and it's just a different style of story that hasn't really been done much in games. Like it'd be great, you know, it'd be great if we could say, no, check this samurai game out instead. But I don't think that, you know, that style of game of this nature really exists.
Well, I think that is the most disappointing thing about it for me, though, is that I'm enjoying the game, but the story is just nothing to me. Like, the whole kind of main tension that is meant to be there of Jin, who's your main character, trying to be like, oh, God, am I living up to the samurai code or am I betraying it to get this done? What am I doing? That doesn't fucking matter. Like, it really isn't being delivered in a way that I care about any of what's going on, which is a shame because I wanted to. Mm. But
I agree.
Sorry.
I think if you're coming from it from the perspective of someone who like really likes samurai movies and has seen a bunch of them, then you'll probably be more disappointed than if you're someone who likes Assassin's Creed games and thinks that Japanese maples are pretty. Like, and it is a good game for those people. If you like Assassin's Creed and have liked the recent ones, you'll probably like this game a lot because it is an artful and thoughtful version of those games, with probably the same issues and bugs that those games have that have held us back from loving those ones as well.
Shadow of Mordor, even more closely, I think this is like a direct cousin to. Direct cousin, but you know what I mean. It is almost the exact same experience of that where I'm like, I like this setting, but it's doing nothing with it. The gameplay is fine, but I can't stop playing it.
Yeah.
The combat has issues, but I really enjoy it. You know, it's the same sort of stuff. This is like, it's about as fucking Japanese and satisfying as buying a California roll from a food court, but nothing wrong with, you know, they still fill you up, even if you're like, oh.
Think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair.
I'm not going to brag to my friends that I had Japanese for lunch.
Yeah.
No. No. But was there anything else I wanted to say? I think I agree with the story. It's very shallow, but I'm still going from icon to icon. You know, I'm still doing every side quest. I'm following every yellow bird. I'm going every hot springs. I'm doing every haiku as bad as they are.
Yes. Man, they're so fucking bad. It's nuts. It's crazy because they're meant to be about nature as well. Isn't that one of the main things of a haiku? But then, because you kind of construct them yourself,
man's connection to nature, you know, something like that.
But some of them, some of the lines are just like, "Well, I'm tired, man. Hello." Like they're almost that level of bizarre, like teenage poetry that they're my least favorite. Like collectible thing to come upon because I know I'm going to have to sit through fucking 2 minutes of this idiot writing a haiku.
Well, I think that those haikus probably sum up the issues with the game in the best, in a little microcosm, because it's like they're completely disrespectful to Japanese culture. But the, that
I wouldn't
aspect
go as far
game,
as that personally. I think they're poorly written, but I don't think they're presented in with any sort of snark to them. I think they're just, you know, not super competently done, but I wouldn't
well,
say they're
yeah.
disrespectful.
The ignorance of a culture, portraying a culture ignorantly is still disrespectful. It does.
I think
have
it's
to
more
be malicious.
Incompetent than ignorant, though. I don't think anyone has not looked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's just...
Sure, but a girl wearing a Native American headdress to a festival is incompetent in her actions. It's still disrespectful.
No, but it's like if she's wearing... It's like an actual Native American person wearing a headdress, but it's all skewed to the side. You know,
but this game wasn't made by Japanese people.
No, I know, so, but
it's still appropriation, but it's done shittily rather than maliciously. And that's, I think, the issue with the game. It's like nothing about it deserves to be cancelled, but nothing about it is done in a way that says, I really respect this and have done the research to make it as good as it should be.
It reads to me, and I haven't really read anything about the development team or anything like that, so I could be completely wrong, but it reads to me as if they wanted to make an open world game and someone went, oh, wouldn't samurais be cool? And then they've sort of done the research there rather than it being someone who's like, I am obsessed with samurais. I've studied the whole culture of it and everything about that era of Japanese history for nearly my entire life. I have this deep... passionate love of it, and I want to put that into a video game. It feels like that the research has kind of come along pretty late in the piece, and not saying that that's, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's just the way that the way that this take on it reads is that it's come about them putting those elements in has come along pretty late in the piece, rather than it being like a real passion project and someone like really, really wanting to tell a great story of something that they're deeply, deeply attached to.
I don't know. I think like there definitely isn't any part of this game that reads as disrespectful to me. I do think that is a part of it that whether or not it like nails any element of it, I don't think any of it is done with a lack of respect or even reverence for some of the stuff. Like there, you know what I mean? It's trying to make those.
I definitely disagree. Like I read this thing about the haiku stuff, and it's like again, I'm not like angry. I don't think they should be like. Called out for cultural appropriation.
Dragged.
But the it's like they don't make grammatical sense, like in English or Japanese. Like it's just if you had someone go and research haiku and preset, you know, like 20 or 20 combinations, then it would make more sense than what you get to choose from in the game. Like it just it's more like if you're going to include something that is culturally important and has thousands of years of history, at least do it to like a basic standard rather than one that literally doesn't make sense.
It's kind of weird that at the time that Ghost of Tsushima is set, haikus apparently didn't exist yet. I saw there was a different type of Japanese poetry. So
Yeah. Or samurais wouldn't have written haiku. It was a different kind of poetry. Yeah.
It's a different. It's a very Hollywood version of Japan. You know what I mean? But.
Mm.
Also, I don't have a problem with the way it's done in this. I just think that it's not done. If they did it with the same level of research that I don't know. I mean, they clearly put a lot of research into it. I'm sure someone did, you know, there was someone who tried their best to research haikus and write them to the standard that they thought they should live up to. I just think they've fallen short of that. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like someone hasn't bothered trying. It seems like they haven't been capable of succeeding.
I think they're bad enough that it was just someone who sat down on an afternoon and was like blossoms in the wind, sitting on a rock isn't I'm a frog.
Yeah.
Like that's how that is. But I meant more like generally that's how I feel about a lot of the aesthetic things in the game. It's like, and like you said, Tommy, someone thought this was cool, so they put it in, but they weren't, this is not like obsessively researched game, which weirdly apparently the Assassin's Creed ones were. Those two recent ones were like could be taught in schools, which is probably too far in the other direction.
Well, and they went and like they got photo scans of individual leaves from the actual island of Tsushima, apparently.
Right.
But then it's a totally different shape and layout and everything. So they've right, definitely right. made video game version for it. And the haikus, they're clearly trying to convey Jin's mindset with what's going on at the moment and relate it to his place in the story. It's just that all of the writing is so bland and plain and lame that none of it hits.
Yeah. I agree with that. So I will continue playing the game until I finish it. And
I know. I'm going to get a
cannot put it down.
Platinum trophy on this. I'm going to put like fucking 40 more hours in probably. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I zoomed out on the map and it's so much bigger than you think it is at right. the start. Like,
no, it's so exactly how big I thought it was. I predicted it. It's just, it's nice
seeing
to
how
be
little
outside.
Of it I've actually done, I'm like, yeah, yeah.
The wind in the trees and shit, same as The Witcher in Red Dead, it's just nice to be moving around outdoors.
Yeah.
With my fucking magic horse who shows up just behind me all the time.
Yeah.
That's, I think, yeah. love a bit of that.
Love a bit of it's. There's a lot of it that the gaminess is too apparent for me at the end of this generation, where I've played a bunch of better versions of this. It's a little too gamey, a little too inelegant, but it's still very addictive, and I'm still going to play it for the entirety of its storyline, at least.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm either going to have stopped playing it within half a week or finish it and do everything and it'll be on my game of the year list. I feel like I'm really enjoying it in spite of those flaws, but I feel like I'm going to take a massive turn one way or the other I decide I just cannot be fucked, or I go, no, those things that I thought were flaws were actually really good, and it's one of the best things I've ever played. I've rebranded what I think of those flaws.
It does feel bad being as harsh as it is we are, because we are looking at it sort of critically and whatever, but I am still enjoying it. I think you were right, Tommy, when you said before that like when it's on a sale, this is a good one to get. And it's when you've got a bit of time, so maybe the lockdown stuff is a good time for it. But maybe it being one of these sort of Sony first-party tentpole type release games is what's letting it down too, from how it comes across, because you are comparing it to God of War and Last of Us and Spider-Man and a lot of things that have done similar things. Like Spider-Man did a better open world, fucking Last of Us did a better story, God of War looked better, you know, it doesn't meet the benchmark of so many of its contemporaries, but it is still fun.
Well, it reeks to me of something that I think, you know, I could see this getting a remaster edition early on in the life of the PS5 with some of these bugs and stuff cleaned up. It smacks to me of that. It'll have, you know, improved camera, tweaked visuals, better facial animations. Like, maybe. That's something that I could definitely see happening.
I can't see that.
I think if the facial animations were better, that might be the thing that tips me over into like being okay with just flat out liking this game. But the fact that you can't even take the cutscenes seriously, I think it's just that thing that pushes it from like a game I'm happy to recommend to a game that I would say only buy on sale, which is such a shame because I was really excited for it.
Yeah, I think it's not even that you can't necessarily take them serious. They're just very video gamey. They're not ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're just plain.
They're dull.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Again, in a PS3
they're a drag.
Yeah.
They're a drag when they come up. They're not like,
I know.
You know, you're not thinking, oh, yeah, cool, I'll, you know, learn some stuff. I'll just take a back seat for a bit and just watch this. It's a bit like, I just want to get on. Like, it makes me like there's a couple of missions where, you know, you're in a town or you're in a base or whatever, and your main objective is get to your horse and then head out to go do this thing, and you've got an optional thing of talk to your allies before you head out. It just makes me not want to do all that stuff. Like, you know, in plenty of games like Last of Us 2 or whatever, you kind of control. You want to find all that extra stuff because it's presented so well, but I just can't be fucked going to talk to someone and having it fade to black and then seeing a dodgy animation where nothing really that interesting gets revealed either of the people that are in the interaction. So it's like, why would I bother? I'm just going to go get on the horse and fuck off.
You're going to talk to the bow guy. He's going to say, hey, be careful out there, Jin. Remember to follow the way of the samurai. My student betrayed me. Well, see you later. It's such information delivery that is taking place in those scenes.
I also noticed, like, all of the like you go to the armorer and they're like, oh, I've got some nice armor for you. So, like, they say the same line. Like, they have 2 to 3 maximum lines, which is, it's just, we've come so far, I thought, in games where you don't want to see, hello, Jin, I've got some nice armor for you today, 80 times in a
or
game.
Or have it be the one thing that's great, like Resident Evil 4, where he goes, what are you buying? And then you'll listen to it 100,000 times. Did you notice as well, in that, like, Golden Temple, which is sort of the first kind of big town, there's people sitting around, and all of the people who are like the incidental NPCs are doing the thing where they have one fucking place where they kneel and they're fucking washing their clothes forever or whatever it is. Mm. And for some reason in that town where everyone's safe, there's people going like, no, help, don't.
I did not like notice that.
I don't know if it was a bug or something.
No, I didn't notice that either.
But there was a character going like, no. And I tried to go over and see, because I assumed they'd have some mission or something to send me
on. Yeah, yeah.
It was just some fucking person sitting there and being like, no! So I don't know.
That's really weird. I didn't have that.
Yeah, there's been a few kind of buggy bits and pieces like that for me.
Mm.
Do you guys think, and I can't comment because I haven't really played any of them, that if this was just, if this came out as Assassin's Creed Japan, if it had been made by Ubisoft, and that and that was... That was the brand that you were, you know, you're turning it on with, you know.
I mean, my first thing that I would, kind of, I would have initially probably said, maybe think a little harder about the name.
Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Assassin's Creed Otaku would be this one, I think.
But do you think you would be a little more forgiving of it? Do you think you'd be a bit more into it if you had gone into it, you know, with the association you have of that brand being a bit like, eh.
Same, opposite.
Opposite. I would have had much less tolerance for it, given how many games of this type they've made. Give me something new.
Yeah, okay.
And they did do that with the past couple, but if this was this game with Assassin's Creed, you know, Tsushima, I would have been more critical, I think.
Yeah, I probably would have been about the same because it feels like one of those a bit. It's not quite Assassin's Creed-y though, and it's not as bloated as that, really. I'm sort of enjoying doing the side stuff, even though a lot of it is real repetitive. But yeah, it's a bit of a plain game, but it is fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's still... I mean, I know I said before it's a game I wouldn't recommend, but you know if you're going to like a game of this type, it is similar to all the ones we've talked about. So, play it if it sounds like you like it, I guess.
It definitely is.
If you're prepared to be forgiving of open worldy kind of stuff in it, and if you think the visuals look good, then you probably have a good time with it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure we'll have more thoughts. In the future, we'll probably check back in a couple of weeks. But
well, yeah, we need to find out if you're going to go left or right, Tommy, if you're going to love it or completely stop playing it. I don't know. I might be in the same position. I still can't tell if it's too frustrating for me or not, but I'll definitely have more to say about it next week.
Yeah. All right. We are going to call it a week for this episode. Guys, thanks very much for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find links to all of the other stuff that we do, the Bandcamp premium episodes. We've got a Patreon. You can chip in and support the show and get an extra episode every week for doing that. We've also got the Let's Plays on YouTube, and we've got all our social media stuff there. So check that out. Head over to Twitch
in like 3
and,
hours. Or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Watch that tonight. And we'll talk about that next week along with a bunch of other stuff. Thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
this game is not good. That does not mean it's the worst. Trees, 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 trees.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.